The wild here doesn't whisper, it roars. Glaciers crack like thunder. Waterfalls carve paths through time. And in the middle of it all, she waits. Motor Yacht Unbridled. A sanctuary of warmth and refinement in the heart of Alaska's untamed frontier. Bears wander the shoreline. Whales breach on the horizon. Seals nap on drifting ice while you sip champagne on the aft deck. This isn't a cruise, it's a calling, and only the bold will answer. Now booking your next unforgettable charter, yachtunbridled.com or through your preferred charter broker.
Top of the morning, folks. It's Captain Liam here, Motor Yacht Unbridled in lovely Seattle at the moment. We've got the pleasure of having Gemma here. How are you this morning, Gemma?
I'm so good. I'm really excited to be here and connect with you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Whereabouts are you?
I am in the countryside in England. Oh, so nice. Opposite time zone to you. It's pitch black outside. We've already had the day, the light. Just enjoying kind of more of that cozy winter feeling over here.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time. We've got that same winter mode here today in Seattle. It's pretty cold and we're going down that. So it's a good time to get into the nitty and gritty of yachting. And we're going to talk about the Yacht Stew program, correct?
Yes, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So tell me about it. How did you start it? What's your kind of background story? Because I think that leads into your depth of knowledge in this field. And I'm really excited to learn also about the certificate of competency that stewardesses can now gather, which measures them and gives them a platform in the industry, which I think is fantastic. So start wherever you want.
Awesome. Perfect. So I joined the industry back in 2011 as a junior stew. I had completed an event planning management program at college and university, and truly just didn't know what was next. So hearing about yachting from a fellow student just sounded just so serendipitous that here I was really wanting to move forward into more of an event space. And yachting is essentially, it's a meticulously planned event every single day that the guests are on board. So
I couldn't think of a better introduction to yachting pretty much from an event planning perspective, because every day is like a curated story that we're trying to give these guests.
Absolutely.
And people don't get that.
And I think people forget it's like, you know, the amount of detail that goes into planning a wedding, that's a charter.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sometimes doing back to back to back all season. So I started in Florida just around the Fort Lauderdale boat show time, and then stayed on boats through till 2020, so did just shy of 10 years, which was not the plan initially. I just thought I'll do a season and then I'm gonna open a wedding planning business back in Vancouver. Did not return to Canada, shoreside anyways. I actually did 3 years between Seattle and Vancouver on a boat. So that was such a joy to be so close to home.
That's where we are now, in Lake Union, correct?
Yes, yes. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful part of the world. I think boats miss it. It's such a shame. I wish more would go. And
the islands, also just on that, the islands off here are stunning. Oh, the Channel Islands, just in the history, the little towns and the art scene and the mountains.
Yeah. The San Juan Islands are fantastic, especially if you have guests who don't necessarily like hills. I know that's a bit niche, but I've had a lot of owners who love to walk but don't like hilly places.
Yeah.
The islands are actually quite flat, so it's really great for like more of that demographic for guests as well. So it was in Seattle actually that I was promoted to chief stew, which was one of the greatest highlights of being on board.
Were you nervous?
And suddenly I went, yes, because I looked around kind of the interior, and I've been on board already for probably 18 months at that time.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, I actually don't know what the heck I'm supposed to do. How do they write these work lists, or who determines who does what on the team, or how do you have those difficult conversations? I've never been taught. I've always just followed and listened. And that was very daunting for me because I wanted to do my best, but I didn't know how to do my best. And what
and just stopping
best
on that,
looks
that's
like.
So typical in the industry, and not just in a stewardess role. Even as captains, even as engineers, you get promoted to a new position. And you're not really trained into the position unless you're working with a good mentor. You're kind of like, would you like a go? There's an opportunity. You should take it. And then you take the opportunity without the core knowledge.
100%. I agree. And a handover can only do so much.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the tangible tasks that you have to do. But you've already maybe been doing them in more of the junior roles. But it is that kind of human element side and the operation side that I was thinking, oh, I know deep down I can do this, but I don't know how to action any of this.
Yes.
So then I created the Yacht Stew from that place of just needing support. So I created just an Instagram account. And this was before like stewardess pages existed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I did like ask my captain, am I allowed? Is this okay?
Yeah.
And this was back, 2016. So close to 10 years ago now that we started the Yacht Stew. And it was just a platform of me and other stews coming together going, raise your hands if you need help. Raise your hands if you can help. Let's just connect.
Yeah.
And support each other and have a place where we can share table settings or, you know, encourage each other or ask, you know, what is a salary expectation for a junior stew like at the moment? And just really have other individuals that have far more experience than I teach and lead me and others. So that's kind of where that started.
Well, it's like the stew Bible. And sorry to interrupt, but I'm really excited about this because as a captain, we don't know. Like 100%, we don't know the world of being a stewardess of the India Department. We have learned and we observe. But we don't know. When I see stewardesses come with different stew Bibles every time, like, no, this is the stew Bible. No, this is the stew Bible. I'm going to change the stew Bible. I'm like, we need some structure in this industry, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of that level playing field of that standard of what is expected. And it's challenging because obviously everything's curated so specifically to the owners, to the vessel, even to the captain's preferences as well. But it's finding that baseline of where do we all start? Was such a challenge. So through the Yacht Stew, I had this unwavering passion. I mean, you can hear it now. I get so excited about training and mentoring and just ensuring that everyone that was promoted had the confidence to step into that role and ace it and not be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
Because there's this misconception where if you're promoted, then you ask questions, you weren't ready.
Yes.
But that's crazy because we're only going to learn and progress as individuals if we're consistently curious and always asking questions.
Yeah, and then you let go because you're not ready and you're like, well, I said I wasn't ready. Like so many times people say I'm not ready and then they get promoted anyway. And they're like, well, I said I wasn't ready and I'm definitely not ready. And now I'm in this role. So the anxiety, the stress. So we're talking about yacht standards. The COC is now coming back. Has come towards the Interior Department. So that was like 2000. The Yacht Stew was pretty big at that point, correct? Your Instagram account is starting to get a lot of followers.
Yes. I would say it's definitely over the years died down simply because I'm not on board anymore. So I think the content people consume from me now are just like my daily walks through the countryside and thoughts of a business owner who's training and recruiting and it's just different.
But that's just beautiful. That's a beautiful platform because that gives so much hope because they're tough times at sea. You've been there. You know what it's like.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's beautiful now because I'm on like the opposite spectrum where I spend so much time connecting with individuals, going through their transferable skills to set them up on land as well. So it's this beautiful evolution of whether you're a junior, a chief, or looking to go shoreside, myself and the fantastic team I work with, we want to support all elements of that. So it's lovely now to be able to help kind of that full, almost life cycle of being on board.
Yeah. And when did it happen? When did the kind of light bulb go off and say, I can now train? Or did you see the platform of education, of the certificates, and then go down a path of training and then start developing into that?
So When I left yachting, probably 2 or 3 years before leaving, my parents actually were like, we want to set up a website for you called the Yacht Stew Academy. We just think people in Vancouver, Canada need to know about yachting. Also, they wanted me home.
And yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, that will never work. And then as I'm going on board more and more, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am like literally lit on fire when I train. I am just in my element.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe there's method to their madness.
Maybe there's something.
And just, over the years, I think as I was doing more training, instead of just doing silver service, I was creating like training packs for the team of like the history of it, scenarios, how you would, approach different things. We would do role play, it was so much more than just me standing at the table telling everybody where to go and what to do.
Yes.
And I was just kept thinking like, okay, maybe I'm not sucking at this. Actually, yeah. Maybe I'm doing all right.
Maybe I should write it down. Maybe I should put a little folio together. Maybe I should add to this website.
Yeah. Maybe I should save this material and not just have it as a note. So over the years, I definitely built my confidence. And my final vessel was a 75-meter. And I had actually been on that boat probably 8 or 9 years prior as a junior. So to go back as chief was so special to me. I also had the most, honest to goodness, best interior team of my life. There was 8 of us. They were phenomenal. And did so much training on board. And at the end of that, I just thought, this is what I'm meant to do. If I'm not going to be a chief stew on board, which is my favorite job of all time, and if I am going to be shoreside, this is absolutely what I want to do. So left yachting and, yeah, within a year had launched the academy. And now I want to say we have over 20-ish courses on the platform. So it's been a really busy 5 years of building, creating, and getting accreditation as well. Because initially accreditation was not available for online schools. And I'm like, guys, it's COVID. Yep. We need to keep up with crew. And absolutely. So eventually we got there, which was fantastic.
And Teams took off, Zoom took off. And it's like, we've got the tools now. We've got the tools.
I know. Still kicking myself that I didn't invest in Zoom shares in 2019. Because that would have been fantastic. And now we're a fully accredited training school and training platform offering on board, in person, and online. And we have 2,000 active enrolled stewardesses with us at the moment.
Wow. Congratulations, Chama. Huge respect. That's a success story. But it's also your reputation. Like what I hear, a lot of the stewardesses coming up, they kind of aspire to be like you in the sense of your positivity, your knowledge, and also what you're giving back to the industry. Like I see so many junior stewardesses, and they're talking about the academy, and they're talking about Gemma, and I'm like, good for her. Good for her. You shine, girl. You shine.
I feel like I'm going, thank you. That's so kind.
I love this industry. I'm passionate about it. So when I see someone, resonate positivity and resonate education, because I think so much comes back to that education, that mentorship, and that training that we forget. We employ people just to do their job. No, we employ people to train them to be better at their jobs and would be better human beings. And your platform does provide that. So talk about accreditation, because as a captain, 25 years in yachting, up until 5 years ago, there was no real, I don't want to be ignorant here, but to my knowledge, there was no real structural accreditation to the Interior Department. Is that correct?
So there actually was, but I was in a similar boat to you, whereby when I was on board, I wasn't aware of the accreditation that was available for crew. So I was looking when doing education at Butler courses, my WSUT, my Wine and Spirit Education Trust courses. I wasn't actually aware that IAMI also accredit the guest program, which is for interior. So it's been really incredible over the past 5 years to A, get to know guest, see the progression of guest, and truly, I think all it came down to was the fact that it just wasn't known across the industry. But I was also based primarily in the US. And there is definitely a disconnect of interior training in the US. At the moment, anyways, there's only junior stew courses available. So if you're interior, you have to fly out to Europe to do the in-person. So I think there's also that disconnect there as well, where, someone like myself who's based out in the States, you aren't going to hear necessarily of these courses that are in person. So then the online options that are now available make it just so much more accessible on a global scale.
Yeah. And are these yachting specific or service specific? Hotel?
So they are yacht specific.
They are yacht specific certificate of competency issued by guests.
Correct. Yes. And under the umbrella of IAMI.
Okay. Now, if you could simplify, because I went in there, we've got a wonderful chief stew, Tiffany, and I hope you meet her. She's absolutely a godsend. She's a lovely person inside and out. And we were looking at it the other day, which is the path to take towards either a purser or a chief stew. Can you just simplify that little path for us? So if you're a junior stew, what kind of path would you take to get towards a COC as a chief stewardess, which then I would assume goes into a purser?
Yeah, so I think straight off the bat as well, there's this there is, I think, a little bit of a misconception in a way that you go from chief stew to purser, because some of the best pursers that I have worked with in the past were actually second officers that had an accounting degree or a law degree previously that then stepped into it. So the chief stew and purser role are just so different. And this is the conversation we're having a lot with Interior Crew at the moment is, do you want to be an administrator that is focusing a lot more on more the legal side when you're doing in and out immigration, compliance, and accounts, budgeting, APAs, or are you wanting to stay more leading the interior team? And obviously, as you get up in size, you then go into more interior managers. So it's more admin role, but specific to the interior. And it's just two very different roles. So it just depends where that individual wants to go. If they want more of that office-based position, then, you know, perhaps the purser role would be a good option for them. Interestingly enough, with the purser program and the COC, you have to be 25 to be able to take that program. So there are a few chief stews that progress quite quick. Yeah. And then at 23, they're looking to be a purser, but they can't actually take. And it may have changed. I don't offer it. So apologies if I'm incorrect there. But you have to be 25 to take that.
But the different career paths is what you're establishing.
Completely.
But the beauty of yachting now, and like in the time that you've been in yachting and even me, I've seen it. It's the boats are so big that there's many career paths, not just being a chief stew. You could be head of service. You could be in a masseuse in a spa section. You could be a personal trainer. You could be a yoga instructor. There's so many different professions in the yachting interior department.
100%. And outside of our chief stew COC program, our most popular courses are head of service and our advanced housekeeping. Because to be a career head of housekeeping, for example, they are a dime a dozen. They are so sought after. And for some individuals, that front-facing guest interaction is just not for them. And that's absolutely fine. It doesn't mean that you don't have a role in the interior. We need more outstanding housekeepers. So if we can help them with that, even better. But to go back to your question, to break down the COC. So the COC is broken up into three primary guest courses, and then there's a list of auxiliary courses, and you have to complete one of those auxiliary courses as well. So the guest courses that we teach that the students have to do is Unit 36, which is destination event and interior management. So that's all about how you're running your team. Oh, I love it. It's the best. It's fantastic. It's obviously a lot of event planning. We do go into destination interior management side where you're planning itinerary. So if you're on maybe a smaller vessel without a purser, the chief stew might be in charge of the itinerary as opposed to the purser. So it's great because it gives you a little bit of a bridge between the two if you're curious about a bit more of that side without going full into it. And then there is Unit 17, which is Foundations of Leadership, which I believe you've taken actually with the crew coach.
With Corrine Race.
It's such a great course.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing the Advanced Leadership one, which we'll talk about.
Yes. So that's also part of the COC, which I love it. It's so great. And I think it's so fascinating. You know, we just did our in-person COC in Florida a few weeks ago. And at the beginning, I asked everybody, what is a leader that you aspire to be like? What is it about them? If you could, you know, hear all the different leadership styles that we focus on, what are they and what are you and that sort of thing. By the end of the course, I was like, okay, let's revisit it. What type of leader do you now want to be? What leadership style do you want to be? And it's just the takeaways are amazing.
Yeah, even myself, after so many years at sea, it's like, I didn't know there's so many types of leaders and you need to be a different type of leader in different scenarios. And the more you verbalize and communicate the style of leadership you're giving, the more receptacle the crew are. And sometimes you 100%. Need to be direct and sometimes you need to be supportive and sometimes, you know, so it's a beautiful course. I loved it.
Yeah. I think crew as well. You have to understand as a HOD and as a leader that not every crew member is going to relate to your leadership style. So there has to be that flexibility on both sides. That's such a joy to teach. And then the third and final course is crew well-being and human resources, which that I believe is the gap into the purser because we do look at, you know, crew leave tracking sheets and compliance and that side of things. But we also look at the well-being of the crew what we can do as interior leaders to make sure that we're not just looking at the physical well-being, but the mental well-being, the emotional well-being of the crew. And when putting together training proposals to the captain, how are we hitting all those marks? So it's not just focused on wine training. We're looking at crew development, team development, cross-training, that sort of thing. And then one of the auxiliary courses that we offer now is the Unit 44, which is the new guest course, which is the Yacht Mental Health course. So we work with Seize the Mind.
Yep.
So all of our COC students do that course with Seize the Mind, which
Emma.
So good. Oh, yes. Emma, she is the queen.
Yeah, she's lovely. And Melanie's just started the Marathon for Mental Health, which we participated in. So, yeah, the beautiful people in this industry. And like I've got to say, I think, you know, being from 25 years and seeing the industry change, one thing I have seen more than anything is an interior department and, you know, without saying females or males, but females in the yachting industry have just blossomed. And the value of them is really evident in the standard we're trying to get and how they fit into a boat in terms of heads of department. And, you know, got to be careful how loud I speak because I'm on a yacht here. But the guest interaction with stewardesses is one of the single most influential parts of the success of the charter, as is a captain and the views and the navigation, as is the engineer and the deck crew. And you can't devalue anyone. It's very hard to compare. But from a face-to-face, moment by moment, that is one of the most areas that is influential the most because the owner sees, the principals see the interior department. They give their feedback to the interior department and the rest of the crew kind of needs to understand and respect that above anything in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that is part of why it blows my mind and I'm so passionate about it equally is as the chief steward or as a senior interior member, you have more face-to-face time with that owner than anyone else on board.
Yeah.
And so let's nurture and train and develop these individuals to have a really heightened sense of emotional intelligence, awareness, you know, cultural preferences.
Conflict resolution.
They're exactly. Just who knows what the owner's going to throw at you at any given moment. And, you know, it's an extension of their home. They have to feel comfortable with whoever they're around.
Yeah.
So that was part of kind of the yacht shoe starting was me going, this doesn't add up to me because every department is so vital, so vital to the success of the program. But the interior seems to be one department that's overlooked with training and recognizing that.
And respect. And I'll be 100% honest, and respect. I feel like I'm hitting, I don't know what the right saying is, but it's something that I don't think is valued enough in the yachting industry. And that's why I take time to speak to yourselves and work with people like Tiff and my interior team. And I give them the utmost respect, you know, even as junior crew, because they're coming into a world they've got no idea about. The ultra high net worthy individuals live in this other world and it's not reality. And you've got a junior stewardess that all of a sudden is serving someone of such a high net worth that expects so much and dines in the greatest restaurants of the world. And that stewardess has to get these skills so quickly in order to handle the situations that's in front of them, you know, and the feedback.
Absolutely. It was interesting, actually, recently at the Super Yacht Forum in Amsterdam, I wasn't there, but a friend went and she relayed to me that there was an individual there who worked for really high-end luxury brands, Rolex, for example. And she said that she's now looking at yachting and just trying to understand a bit more of the human element of yachting. And she just said, as an individual, as someone who would manage a store for Rolex, and, you know, you would have, or Cartier or whatever it may be. And she just said, I would never send someone out on the shop floor to speak with one of our billionaire clients without any training.
Yeah.
You wouldn't send them. And not to say that chiefs don't have any training. It's just every boat is so unique. So maybe you're taking up your first chief steward role in a brand new boat. There's so much to learn about those owners. But if you have that really solid foundation, then you're just going to customize your approach to them.
True, exactly. And I love this conversation because we're going in so many different directions in supporting Interior Department for furthering their education, but also giving them confidence. Because that's one of the biggest ones I see these stewardesses come in, and then within a year or two, they're in these situations with either crew or with clients. And it's like, how do you manage these situations? So training's the key to everything for me, in my opinion. So then going into another topic we haven't reached on, which is quite big in the industry now, human resources. Where does that fit into this? Because everyone's now talking about human resources. How do we take the burden off a captain making, let's not say the wrong decision, but making uninformed, uneducated decisions and not following structural paths like in the commercial sector? Where does that fit in the Interior Department? Where would you like to see it go?
I mean, I think with human resources, it starts from the beginning with that recruitment process with the individuals, making sure that you have a really solid onboarding process that everybody abides by, ensuring that you have a strict schedule for your performance reviews, that you are also creating things along the lines of training management plans, which we teach to our students, because that's something that you can do in all other departments. And also, it was so interesting recently chatting with Chief Stews, a lot of them don't even know that who their DPA is. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, gosh, that's such a basic element really of human resources, because that's part of the chain of command if something happens. So what we are really trying to instruct our students is actually have an ISO on board, so interior standing orders. Yeah. So, you know, making sure that it mirrors the expectations of the captain, but straight off the bat, the crew know exactly what the expectations are, having really, really I don't want to say intense, but detailed is probably a better word, SOPs, and just being very clear from day one of, hey, this is going to be your onboarding process over the next 4 days. This is what you'll learn each day. It comes down to that element of organization for me with human resources. I think that's so important. And collectively as HRDs and as a team, meeting with the captain, really discussing, how do you want us to handle XYZ situations when they come up? And be an extension of what the captain foresees, how
or the
he
company
would like
policy or the industry. Because I think we do individualize captains a lot, which has its benefits because everyone's got their own way to get a result. There's always a different coach in a football team, and everyone's got their own styles to get the result. And you have to have those individual styles because different clients like different things. But I think standardizing these HR responsibilities, which is not just onboarding, it's mentoring, it's helping them through difficult times, it's offboarding as well. And that's where a lot of times we don't talk about it and crew have this anxiety that comes from the unknown. What if I get fired? What happens? Well, here's the procedure for offboarding. And it's simple and it's smooth and we can talk about it and let's normalize these conversations so it reduces the stress level.
Yeah, and incorporating exit interviews as well. I think shoreside, that is quite common with, you know, larger corporations. Why are we not doing it on board? Because especially from a recruitment point of view, when we receive roles and we go, okay, what's the longevity of this team? Why did the last, you know, two or three crew members leave? And the captain goes, oh, okay, let me get back to you on that. But that, I feel like that should be something that you're really acutely aware of, because if you have crew members leaving, how can we retain that talent?
Yeah.
And what is it about the program that maybe wasn't the right fit, or was it our approach, or was it just time for them to leave?
That's where I think there should be external oversight. I'm a big believer, and people are not going to like this, but that's okay. it's okay with me. You know, I've got crew to look after, and I've got a family, and external oversight to me is outside the DPA. It's someone like a human resource person that can give feedback and oversight to the whole operation. You know what I mean? Kind of like a, you know, I'm not saying add it onto a PERSA role, but if a PERSA could be a neutral party without the hierarchical structure that puts stress on the relationships. And that's where I really see the future of yachting going, where we have these human resources, you know, capabilities or functions into yachting that can provide those. Because as a captain, when I ask if I get a resignation or as a termination, when I try and get feedback, it's difficult. It's difficult for a crew member to be really honest and transparent with me, because it may be me or it may be a situation on board that I'm unfamiliar with. So they always want to leave as peaceful as possible. So I think third-party oversight with a DPA or a human resources department is important.
I agree. And there's some incredible companies that are starting to do that.
Yeah.
Some former chief stews, I think one's called People at Sea. I could be incorrect there. I would have to triple check. But it's amazing to see because I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Yachting is a pressure cooker on board. So you need to have that safe space to go and have an honest conversation sometimes. And I think HR is great because it's very black and white. And a lot of times yachting is gray.
Yeah, very much so.
So it's just good to have that standard of yes
well,
or no.
Well, it's sunshine and rainbows that. For everyone else, but when you're actually in it, it's very gray.
Yes, for sure.
We sell sunshine and rainbows, but it's difficult, you know, and it stresses.
In front of the guests, it's sunshine.
It's sunshine and rainbows. It's like Ivy's saying, it never rains on the rich because the crew hold the umbrella. You know, we hold the umbrella.
That.
So it never rains, people. And even if it's raining, we will hold the umbrella. So what are the trends are you seeing? I this is great because I usually only take 15, 20 minutes, but I'm really excited about this interview because what you're doing is you're opening up a lot of, you know, topics and a lot of educational-based information, which is important for people entering the industry or people in the industry that are struggling to find a new way to be better. Because that's the challenge we have in yachting is these owners every year demand more and more. It's not just champagne and caviar anymore, Gemma. It's champagne, caviar, music, yoga, wellness. It just keeps every year stacking on a new trend. It's like, how do the crew handle this? So education is the key. What trends are you seeing either in yachting or in training or in stewardesses that you find are going to influence the industry?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. Also, I think you're absolutely correct. Luxury hospitality never ceases to amaze me because what was the expectation yesterday is so far removed from today. So it's pretty wild and weird and wonderful. I think what we're noticing more specifically within the interior is interior crew are advocating for themselves because they want to show up for their team in a better manner.
Thanks.
And I love that. 5 years ago, it was... For us anyways, as a company and as a Yacht Stew kind of platform, it was a lot of conversations with a lot more junior crew that were just trying to get their foot in the door.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's Chief Stew saying, okay, I want to be a Chief Stew. I need to know how to get from A to B, but also I need to start putting money in and really investing into my education for that exit out as well.
Mm.
So all these transferable skills are now becoming kind of at the forefront of, I think, a lot of crew members' minds because they are aware that yachting isn't necessarily forever. So it's incredible to teach these courses, but also give the opportunity to the students to relate that to outside of yachting and kind of open their minds that, you know, what's directly in front of you isn't always going to be there as well. So that's been really interesting, is just seeing crew and interior crew advocating for their education, for their team's education, and just starting that conversation of what's next.
But yeah,
as opposed to often when you leave, that door closes and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
guess my time in yachting's done. But that's not the case. There's so many opportunities out there.
Yeah, there is.
You just have to have the confidence to see that.
Yeah, we'll talk about social media. If you got time, I don't want to put you on any pressure or anything. Because I'm really excited because you're giving me an insight as well. Like the conversations I'm having with you really help me as a captain, as a leader, build on the team that I have. And I'm super blessed to have such a beautiful team, number one. But because they're that good, I have a responsibility to try and be better now. And like the guests want me to be better and the standard, I have to try and be a better leader. So I want to talk about social media and the demands of it because it is difficult. Where do you, in your training platform, kind of put that personal branding? Because there's so many people coming out with different platforms, different ideas. Where does it fit into yachting?
Yeah, I think, in terms of, it's so challenging, isn't it?
Because isn't it? There's no right answer.
And some of the best interior managers, I'm speaking of interior managers at the moment. I'm trying to fill a position. And you couldn't find them online if you tried.
Yeah.
For them, privacy is pivotal. They do not show up because for them, the clients that they've worked with, that would be an absolute no-go. Whereas we've had other individuals where I speak with them And they've just had this incredible way of creating an online portfolio. Yeah. So it's not a, look at me, look what I'm doing. Yeah. You know, I'm so great at this. It's, this is what I've created. This is what I've made. This is what I've learned. It's really direct, tangible skills that they have. And that, I think, is incredible, because then we can send through examples of their work. And like chefs often send through menus and photos of their food for the interior, we can do the exact same and create a portfolio of the events that they've, you know, curated and things like that. So it's just finding that balance of, like, even me, I have a personal account on Instagram. It's like 200 followers. It's just photos of my cats these days. It's really nothing, nothing noteworthy. But for me, that wouldn't necessarily be what I, you know, it's very personal. It's private. It's things about my family.
Yeah.
The yacht stew, I've had to separate. And I always encourage that to crew, is don't be afraid to have that separation.
I agree.
Because, you know, you aren't going to necessarily want to be known as, I don't know, let's say Katie, the yacht stew, as just an example.
Yeah, yeah.
You might not want to be known as that forever. So it is okay to have that separation. But I think social media, if you use it correctly, if you use it as an online portfolio of your work, incredible opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with you. It's just, you've got to, you've got to know the boundaries of it. You've got to not kind of get too saturated in it, because in the end of the day, it's the, sometimes it separates you from the crew. You know, does that make any sense too? If you're going out there and presenting something that's not real, or, you know, so I think personal branding's huge though. The other one too, we want to talk about kind of wellness. Do you see much of a trend in the stewardesses that you're coming in and the demands from your clients that are asking for more wellness training on board? And where does that fit in to interior training?
Yeah, massively, massively. I think especially since, I would say, really since COVID times, that the focus on wellness has completely shifted. And the expectations of wellness kind of stews has changed. So it's so much more than just having a spa on board, not to take away from the spa. That's such a pivotal part of it. But we are now looking for individuals with such specific skill sets. And I think longevity in kind of, you know, not to get too deep, but longevity in human life seems to be a topic that's spoken about at so many of these yachting conferences now, because there is this fascination with how can you prolong that? How can you be the healthiest?
Yes.
And if they are going to do that in their home, they're also going to do that on their vessel. So that's been really fascinating. We do not offer those specialty trainings. It's not in our wheelhouse. But we are seeing more and more, just more and more of a interest focus in it. On that. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So the final question I've got, because I really love this, I'm going to watch this myself again and again, I think, and take notes and show it in the crew mess to the interior team, all the deck crew, whoever would like to watch it. But the last one I've got is kind of, it's more about your vision. Like, what would you love to see? What course would you love to have, and in a positive way to influence yachting, or in a way to change yachting? So what's the, giving your kind of legacy, if you could?
Yeah. That is a very loaded question. I think immediately...
You just don't know how important you are, Gemma. That's the key. You don't know how important you are. People look up to you with so much admiration and respect of your academy and your experience. So I just kind of want to try and give back of what would you like?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see every department just be recognized across the board. And I do think through education, there is a way to do that, because there is that mindset sometimes of, well, we've done all these courses and you haven't done any, so we're not equal. Something I feel quite passionate about is really working towards some sort of course where we can really help chief stews on charter vessels. I think there's kind of that missing gap sometimes of being a charter chief stew is very different from being a private vessel chief stew, and how we can equip them to
probably the hardest in job in yachting. Probably the hardest job in yachting, I think, because you got the demands from the broker, the client, the captain, and the rest of the crew and the owner all coming down at you to present itineraries, budgets, APAs. It all seems to funnel down towards this chief stew. I'm like, poor girl, and she's the one serving or making sure everything is perfect as well.
Yeah. And every day is a little bit of the unknown.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. But I love that the mental health conversation is continuing and more crew are doing that as well. That is pivotal to me. I hope eventually, and I fingers crossed, my gut feeling is that it's going to happen, that it will be added as a component to the SDCW. I think across the board, it just needs to be a no-brainer for every individual to take that.
Yeah. I think it is in 2026.
Even if it isn't the gut specific one.
January 2026, there's a component of the personal safety and social responsibility. No, sorry, it talks about bullying. It doesn't talk about mental health.
Yes. Well.
It talks about
and bullying. Sexual harassment.
And sexual harassment. Yep. That's right. So yes. It should be a component of mental health, like the mental health first aid course. I think Emma does it at Seize the Mind as well. I think it's a great course, and that should be a minimum for crew. So I appreciate all your time, Gemma. For me, I think one of the key takeaways that you've given is the value of the COC. That everyone should recognize that, you know, through an industry whole and give it equal value to other heads of department, I think is important. And we're not going to go into the arguments and the why's not, and there's going to be upset people with me. But to me, it is an equal value. And with the courses that you offer, it gives that qualification that the stewardesses can have that confidence and have that pride, which maintains their mental health and their wellness as well, to have that, you know, support. Yeah. From the other departments. For me, I want to see more standard of training in terms of service cross departments because we are all part of a service industry, a captain, a deckhand, an engineer, an ETO, you name it, in the spa, in the water sports, we're all in the same industry. So how do we not train deckhands to be more service orientated? How do we not train captains to be more service orientated? That's where I kind of have a vision where it should go a bit more. Because if the demands are coming more and more, we have to lift our bar. And that starts with education and companies like yours.
I agree. And something that I actually recommended to our last intake of Chief Stews was cross-departmental training days,
yes.
Where as the Chief Stew, you take some of the deckies for an afternoon and then your stews maybe go and help in the galley and everyone moves around.
Yeah.
And then there's just such a greater appreciation for what each other does.
And they can get some sunlight and vitamin D and some salt air and jump on a jet ski.
Great.
All right, Jenna.
I wouldn't say no.
Exactly. I'll trade it out some days. I'm like, it's a good job out there, Decker. You know? How can people find you, Gemma? And what's your closing notes?
So on Instagram at The Yacht Stew or at The Yacht Stew Academy, super simple. Or theyachtstew.com, you'll be able to find everything and anything interior related over there.
Beautiful. Congratulations once again. You're shining, you're resonating, and it's wonderful to see people like you in this industry doing so much to make it better.
Thank you so much.
All right. My name's Liam. Be safe, be blessed out there, and follow Gemma and educate. Educate, educate, educate.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.